feeling the breath from her lungs, making her forget everything but the clamour and the falling. It was over too fast, the grip of the portal releasing her to fall awkwardly, her backpack twisted underneath her on the packed dirt floor of a tunnel. She caught her breath and rolled over, using a long dangling root to pull herself upright. Alec, Isabel, Jace and Simon were picking themselves up around her, brushing off their clothes. It wasn't dirt they had fallen on, she realized, but a carpet of moss. More moss spread along the smooth brown tunnel walls, but it glowed with phosphorescent light. Small glowing flowers, like electric daisies, grew in among the moss, starring the green with white. Snaky roots dangled down from the roof of the tunnel, making Clary wonder what exactly was growing above ground. Various smaller tunnels branched off the main one, some of them too small to admit a human form. Isabel picked a piece of moss out of her hair and frowned. Where are we exactly? I aimed for just outside the throne room, Clary said. We've been here, it just always looks different. Jace had already moved down the main corridor. Even without the soundless rune, he was as quiet as a cat on the soft moss. The others followed, Clary with her hand on the hilt of her sword. She was a little surprised at how short a time it had taken to become used to a weapon hovering at her side. If she reached for Heroes Forest and found it not there, she thought, she would panic. Here, Jace said softly, motioning the rest of them to be quiet. They were in an archway, a curtain separating them from a larger room beyond. The last time Clary had been here, the curtains had been made out of living butterflies, and their struggles had made it rustle. Today it was thorns, like the thorns that surrounded Sleeping Beauty's castle, thorns woven into one another so that they formed a dangling sheet. Clary could catch only glimpses of the room beyond, a glimmer of white and silver, but they could all hear the sound of laughing voices coming from the corridors around them. Glamoroons didn't work on the fair folk. There was no way to hide from the view. Jace was alert, his whole body tight. He carefully raised a dagger and parted the sheet of thorns as silently as he could. They all leaned in, staring. The room beyond was a winter fairyland, the kind Clary had rarely seen except in visits to Luke's farmhouse. The walls were sheets of white crystal, and the queen reclined upon her divan, which was white crystal to match, shot through with veins of silver in the rock. The floor was covered in snow, and long icicles hung from the ceiling, each one bound around with ropes of gold and silver thorns. Bunches of white roses were piled around the room, scattered at the foot of the queen's divan, wound through her red hair like a crown. Her dress was white and silver too, as diaphanous as a sheet of ice. One could glimpse her body through it, though not clearly. Ice and roses and the queen. The effect was blinding. She was leaning back on her couch, her head tipped up, speaking to a heavily armored fairy knight. His armor was dark brown, the color of the trunk of a tree. One of his eyes was black, the other pale blue, almost white. For a moment, Clary thought he had the head of a deer tucked under his big arm. But as she looked closer, she realized it was a helmet, decorated with antlers.
"And how goes it with the wild hunt, Gwyn?" the queen was asking. "The gatherers of the dead? I assume there were rich pickings for you at the Adamant Citadel the other night. I hear that the howls of the Nephilim tore the sky as they died."
Clary felt the shadow hunters around her tense. She remembered lying beside Jace in a boat in Venice and watching the wild hunt go by overhead. A maelstrom of shouts and battle cries, horses whose hooves gleamed scarlet, hammering across the sky.
"So I have heard, my lady," Gwyn said in a voice so hoarse it was barely understandable. It sounded like the scrape of a blade against rough bark. "The wild hunt comes when the ravens of the battlefield scream for blood. We gather our riders from among the dying. But we were not at the Adamant Citadel. The war games of Nephilim and Dark Ones are too rich for our blood. The fair folk mix poorly with demons and angels."
"You disappoint me, Gwyn," said the queen, pouting. "This is a time of power for the fair folk. We gain, we rise, we achieve the world. We belong on the chessboards of power as much as Nephilim do. I had hoped for your advice."
"Forgive me, lady," said Gwyn. "Chess is too delicate a game for us. I cannot advise you."
"But I gave you such a gift," the queen sulked. "The Blackthorn boy.
Shadowhunter and fairy blood together, it is rare. He will ride at your back and demons will fear you. A gift from myself and from Sebastian.
Sebastian. She said it comfortably, familiarly. There was a fondness in her voice, if the Queen of Fairies could be said to be fond. Clary could hear Jace's breathing beside her, sharp and quick. The others were tense as well, panic chasing realization across their faces as the Queen's words sank in. Clary felt Hiers Forest grow cold in the grip of her hand. A path to the demon realms that leads through fairy lands, the earth cracking open under Sebastian's feet, Sebastian bragging that he had allies. The Queen and Sebastian giving the gift of a captured Nephilim child, together.
Demons already fear me, beautiful one, said Gwyn, and he smiled.
My beautiful one.
The blood in Clary's veins was an icy river, singing down into her heart. Glancing down, she saw Simon move to cover Isabel's hand with his, a quick, reassuring gesture. Isabel had gone white and looked sick, as did Alec and Jace. Simon swallowed, the gold ring on his finger glittered, and she heard Sebastian's voice in her head.
Do you really think she'd let you get your hands on something that would let you communicate with your little friends without her being able to listen in? Since I took it from you, I've spoken to her. She's spoken to me. You were a fool to trust her, little sister. She likes to be on the winning side of things, the Seely Queen. And that side will be ours, Clary. Ours.
You owe me one favor then, Gwyn, in exchange for the boy, said the Queen. I know that the Wild Hunt serves its own laws, but I would request your presence at the next battle.
Gwyn frowned.
I am not sure one boy is worth such a weighty promise. As I have said, the Hunt has small desire to involve itself in the business of the Nephilim.
You need not fight, said the Queen, in a voice like silk. I would ask only your assistance with the bodies afterward.
And there will be bodies. The Nephilim will pay for their crimes, Gwyn. Everyone must pay.
Before Gwyn could reply, another figure strode into the room from the dark tunnel that curved away behind the Queen's throne. It was Melion, in his white armor, his black hair in a braid down his back. His boots were encrusted with what looked like blackish tar. He frowned when he saw Gwyn.
A hunter never brings good tidings, he said.
Subside, Melion, said the Queen. Gwyn and I were only discussing an exchange of favors.
Melion inclined his head. I bear news, my lady, but I would have counsel with you in private. She turned to Gwyn.
Are we agreed?
Gwyn hesitated, then nodded curtly, and with a glance of dislike in Melion's direction, disappeared down the dark tunnel from which the fairy knight had come. The Queen slid down in her divan, her pale fingers like marble against her gown.
Very well, Melion. What do you wish to speak of? Is it news of the Downworld prisoners?
The Downworld prisoners. Clary heard Alec's sharp intake of breath behind her, and Melion's head whipped to the side. She saw his eyes narrow.
I do not mistake myself, he said, reaching for the blade at his side. My lady, we have visitors.
Jace was already sliding his hand down his side, whispering,
Gabriel.
The Seraph blade blazed up, and Isabel leapt to her feet, sweeping her whip forward, slicing through the curtain of thorns, which collapsed, rattling to the ground. Jace darted past the thorns and advanced into the throne room, Gabriel blazing in his hand. Clary whipped her sword free. They poured into the room, arranging themselves in an arc behind Jace. Alec with his bow already strung, Isabel with her whip out and glittering. Clary with her sword, and Simon. Simon had no better weapon than his own self. But he stood and smiled at Melion, and his teeth glittered. The Queen drew herself upright with a hiss, quickly covered. It was the only time Clary had seen her flustered.
How dare you enter the court unbidden, she demanded. This is the highest of crimes, a breaking of covenant law.
How dare you speak of breaking covenant law, Jay shouted, and the Seraph blade burned in his hand. Clary thought Jonathan Shadowhunter must have looked like that so many centuries ago when he drove the demons back and saved an unknowing world from destruction. You who have murdered and lied and taken Downworlders of the Council prisoner. You have allied yourself with evil forces and you will pay for it.
The Queen of the Seely Court does not pay, said the Queen.
Everyone pays, Jay said, and suddenly he was standing on the divan, over the queen, and the tip of his blade was against her throat. She flinched back, but she was pinned in place. Jay standing over her, his feet braced on the couch.
How did you do it? He demanded.
Melion swore that you were on the side of the Nephilim. Fairies can't lie, that's why the council trusted you.
Melion is half-fairy, he can lie, said the queen, shooting an amused glance at Isabel, who looked shocked.
Only the queen could look amused with a blade to her throat, Clary thought.
Sometimes the simplest answer is the correct one, Shadowhunter.
That's why you wanted him on the council, said Clary, remembering the favor the queen had asked of her what seemed so long ago now. Because he can lie. A betrayal long planned. Jace was breathing hard. I should cut your throat right now.
You would not dare, said the queen, unmoving, the point of the sword against her throat. If you touch the queen of the Seely Court, the fair folk will be ranged against you for all time.
Jace was breathing hard as he spoke. His face was full of burning light.
Then what are you now? He demanded.
We heard you. You spoke of Sebastian as an ally. The Adamant Citadel lies on ley lines. Ley lines are the province of the Fae. You led him there. You opened the way. You let him ambush us. How are you not already ranged against us?
An ugly look crossed Melion's face.
You may have heard us speaking, little Nephilim, he said. But if we kill you before you return to the clave to tell your tales, none others need ever know. The knight started forward. Alec let an arrow fly and it plunged into Melion's leg. The knight toppled backward with a cry. Alec strode forward, already notching another arrow to his bow. Melion was on the ground, moaning, the snow around him turning red. Alec stood over him, bow at the ready.
Tell us how to get Magnus, how to get the prisoners back, he said.
Do it, or I'll turn you into a pincushion. Melion spat. His white armor seemed to blend into the snow around him.
I will tell you nothing, he said. Torture me, kill me, I shall not betray my queen.
It doesn't matter what he says anyway, said Isabel. He can lie, remember?
Alec's face shut.
True, he said.
Die then, liar,
and he let the next arrow go. It sank into Melion's chest, and the fairy knight fell back, the force of the arrow sending his body skidding back across the snow. His head hit the cave wall with a wet smack. The queen cried out. The sound pierced Clary's ears, snapping her out of her shock. She could hear the sound of fairies shouting, running feet in the corridors outside.
Simon, she yelled, and he whirled around. Come here.
She jabbed Hyosphorus back into her belt, seized her steely, and darted toward the main door, now denuded of its ragged curtain of thorns. Simon was at her heels.
Lift me, she panted, and without asking, he put his hands around her waist and thrust her upward, his vampire strength nearly sending her hurtling to the roof.
She grabbed on tight to the top of the archway with her free hand and looked down. Simon was staring up at her, obviously puzzled, but his grip on her was steady.
Hold on, she said, and began to draw.
It was the opposite of the rune she'd drawn on Valentine's boat. This was a rune for shutting and locking, for closing away all things, for hiding and safety. Black lines spread from the tip of her steely as she drew, and she heard Simon say, "Hurry up, they're coming," just as she finished and drew the steely back. The ground underneath them jerked. They fell together, Clary landing on Simon. Not the most comfortable landing, he was all knees and elbows, and rolling to the side as a wall of earth began to slide across the open archway like a theater curtain being drawn. There were shadows rushing toward the door, shadows that began to take the shape of running fairy folk, and Simon jerked Clary upright just as the doorway that opened onto the corridor disappeared with a final rumble, shutting away the fairies on the other side.
By the angel, Isabel said in an awed voice.
Clary turned around, steely in hand. Jace was on his feet, the steely queen in front of him, his sword pointed at her heart. Alec stood over Melion's corpse. He was expressionless as he looked at Clary, and then at his parabatai. Behind him opened the passageway through which Melion had come and Gwyn had gone.
Are you going to close the back tunnel?
Simon asked Clary. She shook her head.
Melion had pitch on his shoes, she said.
And the streams of Edom shall be turned into pitch, remember? I think he came from the demon realms. I think they're that way.
Jace, Alec said.
Tell the Queen what we want, and that if she does it, we will let her live. The Queen laughed a shrill sound.
Little archer boy, she said, I underestimated you.
Sharp are the arrows of a broken heart. Alec's face tightened. You underestimated all of us, you always have. You and your arrogance. The fair folk are an old people, a good people. You aren't fit to lead them. Under your rule, they will all wind up like this, he said, jerking his chin towards Melion's corpse.
You are the one who killed him, said the Queen, not I.
Everyone pays, Alec said, and his eyes on her were steady and blue and hard. We desire the safe return of the hostages Sebastian Morgenstern has taken, said Jace. The Queen spread her hands.
They are not in this world, nor here in Faerie, nor in any land over which I have jurisdiction. There is nothing I can do to help you rescue them, nothing at all.
Very well, said Jace, and Clary had the feeling he had expected that response. There is one thing you can do, one thing you can show us that will make me spare you. The Queen went still.
What is that, Shadowhunter?
The road to the demon realm of Edom, said Jace. We want safe passage to it. We will walk it and walk our way out of your kingdom. To Clary's surprise, the Queen seemed to relax. The tension bled from her posture and a small smile tugged at the corner of her mouth, a smile that Clary did not like.
Very well. I will lead you to the road to the demon realm.
The Queen lifted her diaphanous dress in her hand so that she could make her way down the steps that surrounded her divan. Her feet were bare and as white as the snow. She began to make her way across the room to the dark passage that stretched away behind her throne. Alec fell into step behind Jace, and Isabel behind him. Clary and Simon made up the rear, a strange procession.
I really, really hate to say this, Simon said in a low voice as they went out from the throne room and into the shadowed darkness of the underground passage. But that kind of seemed too easy.
That wasn't easy, Clary whispered back.
I know, but the Queen, she's clever. She could have found a way out of doing this if she wanted to. She doesn't have to let us go to the demon realms.
But she does want to, Clary said. She thinks we'll die there.
Simon shot her a sideways look.
Will we?
I don't know,
Clary said, and sped up her pace to catch up with the others. The corridor wasn't as long as Clary had thought. Its darkness had made the distance seem impossible, but they had only been walking for a half hour or so when they broke out from the shadows and into a larger, lighted space. They had been walking in silence and darkness, Clary lost in her thoughts, memories of the house she and Sebastian had shared, the sound of the wild hunt roaring across the sky, of that piece of paper with the words, "My beautiful one," on it. That hadn't been romance, that had been respect. The Seelie Queen, the beautiful one.
The Queen likes to be on the winning side of things, Clary, and that side will be ours, Sebastian had said to her once.
Even when she had reported that to the Clave, she had taken it as part of his bluster. She had believed, along with the Council, that the fair folk's word that they were loyal was enough, that the Queen would at least wait to see which way the wind blew before she broke any alliances. She thought of the catch in Jace's breath when he'd said, a betrayal long planned. Maybe none of them had considered it because they hadn't been able to bear considering it. That the Queen would be so sure of Sebastian's eventual victory that she would hide him in Faerie, where he could not be tracked. That she would help him in battle. Clary thought of the earth opening in the Adamant Citadel, and taking Sebastian and the Andarkin down into it. That had been Faerie magic. The court lay underground, after all. Why else had the Dark Shadow Hunters who had attacked the Los Angeles Institute taken Mark Blackthorne? Everyone had assumed Sebastian was afraid of the vengeance of the fair folk, but he wasn't. He was in league with them. He had taken Mark because he had fairy blood, and because of that blood, they thought Mark belonged to them. In all her life, she had never thought so much as she had in the past 6 months about blood and what it meant. Nephilim blood bred true. She was a shadow hunter. Angel blood, it made her what she was, gifted her with the power of runes. It made Jace what he was, made him strong and fast and brilliant. Morgenstern blood, she had it, and so did Sebastian, and that was why he cared about her at all. It gave her a dark heart, too. Or did it? Was it Sebastian's blood, Morgenstern and demon mix, that made him a monster?
Or could he have been changed, fixed, made better, taught otherwise, as the Lightwoods had taught Jace?
Here we are, said the Seelie Queen, and her voice was amused. Can you guess the right road?
They stood in a massive cave, the roof lost in shadow. The walls glowed with a phosphorescent shine, and four roads branched off from where they stood, the one behind them and three others. One was clear and broad and smooth, leading directly ahead of them. The one on the left shone with green leaves and bright flowers, and Clary thought she saw the glimmer of blue sky in the distance. Her heart longed to go that way. And the last way, the darkest, was a narrow tunnel, the entrance wound about with spiked metal and thorn bushes lining the sides. Clary thought she could see darkness and stars at the end. Alec laughed shortly.
We're shadow hunters, he said. We know the old tales. This is the three roads.
At Clary's puzzled look, he said, fairies don't like their secrets to get out, but sometimes human musicians have been able to encode fairy secrets into ancient ballads. There's one called Thomas the Rhymer, about a man who was kidnapped by the Queen of Fairy.
Hardly kidnapped, objected the Queen. He came quite willingly.
And she took him to a place where three roads lay and told him that one went to heaven, and one went to fairyland, and one went to hell. And see ye not that narrow road, so thick beset with thorns and briars? That is the path of righteousness, though after it but few inquires. Alec pointed toward the narrow tunnel.
It goes to the mundane world, said the Queen sweetly. Your folk find it heavenly enough there.
That's how Sebastian got to the Adamant Citadel and had warriors backing him up that the Clave couldn't see, said Jace in disgust. He used this tunnel. He had warriors hanging back here in Faerie where they couldn't be tracked. They came through when he needed them.
He gave the Queen a dark look.
Many Nephilim are dead because of you.
Mortals, said the Queen.
They die.
Alec ignored her.
There, he said, pointing to the leafy tunnel.
That goes farther into Faerie. And that, he pointed ahead, is the road to hell. That's where we're going.
I always heard it was paved with good intentions, said Simon.
Place your feet upon the way and find out, Daylighter, said the Queen.
Jace twisted the tip of the blade in her back. What will stop you from telling Sebastian we've come after him the moment we leave you? The Queen made no noise of pain, only her lips thinned. She looked old in that moment, despite the youth and beauty of her face.
You ask a fine question. And even if you kill me, there are those in my court who will speak to him of you, and he will guess your intentions, for he is clever. You cannot evade his knowing, save you kill all the fair folk in my court.
Jace paused. He held the seraph blade in his hand, the tip pressed up against the Seelie Queen's back. Its light flared up onto his face, carving out its beauty in peaks and valleys, the sharpness of cheekbones and the angle of jaw. It caught the tips of his hair and licked them with fire, as if he were wearing a crown of burning thorns. Clary watched him, and others did as well, silently, giving him their trust. Whatever decision he made, they would stand behind it.
Come now, said the Queen. You do not have the stomach for so much killing. You were always Valentine's gentlest child.
Her eyes lingered a moment on Clary, gleeful. You have a dark heart in you, Valentine's daughter.
Swear, said Jace. I know what promises mean to your people. I know you cannot lie. Swear you will say nothing of us to Sebastian, nor will you allow anyone in your court to do the same.
I swear, said the Queen. I swear that no one in my court, by word or deed, will tell him that you came here.
Jace stepped away from the Queen, lowering his blade to his side. I know you think you are sending us to our deaths, he said, but we will not die so easily. We will not lose this war, and when we are victorious, we shall make you and your people bleed for what you have done.
The Queen's smile left her face.
They turned away from her and started down the path to Edom, silently. Clary looked over her shoulder once as they went, and saw only the outline of the Queen, motionless, watching them go, her eyes burning. The corridor curved far away into the distance, seeming as if it had been hollowed out of rock around it by fire. As the five of them went forward, moving in total silence,
The pale stone walls around them darkened, stained here and there by streaks of charcoal blackness, as if the rock itself had burned. The smooth floor began to give way to a rockier one, grit crunching under their boot heels. The phosphorescence in the walls started to dim, and Alec drew his witchlight from his pocket and raised it overhead. As the light rayed out from between his fingers, Clary felt Simon beside her stiffen.
"What is it?" she whispered.
"Something's moving." He jabbed a finger in the direction of the shadows ahead.
"Up there."
Clary squinted but saw nothing. Simon's vampire eyesight was better even than a shadow hunter's. As quietly as she could, she drew his forest from her belt and paced a few steps ahead, keeping to the shadows at the sides of the tunnel. Jason and Alec were deep in conversation. Clary tapped Izzy on the shoulder and whispered to her.
"There's someone here. Or something."
Isabel didn't reply, only turned to her brother and made a gesture at him, a complicated movement of fingers. Alec's eyes showed his comprehension, and he turned immediately to Jace. Clary remembered the first time she'd seen the three of them, in pandemonium, years of practice melding them into a unit that thought together, moved together, breathed together, fought together. She couldn't help but wonder if, no matter what happened, no matter how dedicated a shadow hunter she became, she would always be on the fringes. Alec swung his hand down suddenly, dousing the light. A flash and a spark, and Isabel was gone from Clary's side. Clary spun around, holding his force, and heard the sound of a scuffle, a thump, and then a very human yelp of pain. "Stop!" Simon called, and light exploded all around them. It was as if a camera flash had gone off. It took a moment for her eyes to adjust to the new brightness. The scene filled in slowly. Jace holding his witchlight, the glow radiating around him like the light of a small sun. Alec, his bow raised and notched. Isabel, the handle of her whip tight in one hand, the whip itself curled around the ankles of a slight figure hunched against the cave wall. A boy, with pale blonde hair that curled over his slightly pointed ears.
"Oh my God," Clary whispered, shoving her weapon back into her belt and pressing forward. "Isabel, stop, it's all right," she said, moving toward the boy.
His clothes were torn and dirty, his feet bare and black with filth. His arms were bare too, and on them were the marks of runes. Shadowhunter runes.
"By the angel!"
Izzy's whip slithered back into her grasp. Alec's bow fell to his side. The boy lifted his head and scowled.
"You're a shadowhunter," said Jason in an incredulous tone.
The boy scowled again, more ferociously. There was anger in his look, but more than that, there was grief and fear. There was no doubting who he was. He had the same fine features as his sister, the same angled chin and hair like bleached wheat curling at the tips. He was about 16, Clary remembered. He looked younger.
"It's Mark Blackthorne," Clary said.
"Helen's brother, look at his face, look at his hand." For a moment, Mark looked confused. Clary touched her own ring finger and his eyes lit with comprehension. He held out his thin right hand. On the fourth finger, the family ring of the Blackthorns, with its design of intertwined thorns, glittered.
"How did you get here?" Jace said. "How did you know how to find us?"
"I was with the hunters underground," Mark said in a low voice. "I heard Gwyn talking to some of the others about how you'd shown up in the Queen's chamber. I sneaked away from the hunters. They weren't paying attention to me. I was looking for you and I ended up here."
He gestured to the tunnel around them.
"I had to talk to you. I had to know about my family."
His face was in shadow, but Clary saw his features tighten.
"The fairies told me they were all dead. Is it true?"
There was a shocked silence, and Clary read the panic in Mark's expression as his eyes darted from Isabel's downcast eyes to Jace's blank expression to Alec's tight posture.
"It's true," Mark said then. "Isn't it? My family. Your father was turned. But your brothers and sisters are alive," Clary said. "They're in Idris. They escaped. They're fine."
If she had expected Mark to look relieved, she was disappointed. He went white.
"What?"
"Julian, Helen, the others, they're all alive." Clary put her hand on his shoulder. He flinched away.
"They're alive and they're worried about you."
"Clary," Jay said, a warning in his voice. Clary shot a look over at him. Surely telling Mark his siblings were alive was the most important thing. "Have you eaten anything, drunk anything since the fair folk took you?"
Jace asked, moving to peer into Mark's face. Mark jerked away, but not before Clary heard Jace's sharp intake of